With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director of Secure Free Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're looking at the war fighting in the Middle East in several stages. We're checking in on Lebanon now, having left Gaza. We're headed back to Yemen. But Lebanon has been quiet, which worries me, Jonathan, because the smuggling must continue in order to rearm and reinvigorate Hezbollah. The numbers there are daunting. The government is completely untrustworthy. Is there any development here that doesn't look negative?
Well, actually, right now what we're hearing out of Lebanon is that the mechanism for the Israelis and the Lebanese government, the Lebanese armed forces, to identify Hezbollah threats and then to ultimately have Israel remove those threats, that mechanism is actually working quite well. This was something of a surprise to me. I was operating under the impression that Israel was acting alone when it targeted Hezbollah assets across Lebanon. As we understand it right now, the Israelis have been calling in the problematic things that they're seeing in South Lebanon or even north of the Litani. The Lebanese armed forces, in most cases, in fact, maybe all of them, are unable to take the appropriate military action. And so Israel does it for them. But apparently the Lebanese armed forces or the Lebanese government, they're not unhappy with this situation. It's actually helping them gain control over their territory. This is something that I think a lot of Lebanese people would welcome, even if they don't necessarily welcome the idea of additional Israeli airstrikes. But according to reports, anecdotal reports on the ground right now, the Lebanese government, the Lebanese armed forces control something like 80% of their country. That has not happened in a very long time, John. Now, I do think that there are still financial targets that Israel is going to need to wrestle with. There is an informal shadow banking network that Hezbollah continues to operate, and that's the source of a lot of its political power. So Israel has some choices to make there, probably with or without the Lebanese government. But I think overall, we're seeing a more stable Lebanon than anything that I would have predicted, say, a few months ago.
And is that a consequence of war fighting or political decisions in Beirut? That's an impossible question to answer, but you handle the impossible.
Well, I think actually so much of it really is the outgrowth of Israel's military strikes. Those 10 or 11 days back in September where they took out the commanders of the Radwan forces and then took out some of the top leadership of Hezbollah, culminating in the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, the secretary general. That opened the door for all of this. The political decisions that are being made right now in the government of Lebanon, they're an outgrowth of the fact that Hezbollah has never been weaker. They have more latitude right now than they ever have. So when Lebanese right now look at their situation, they understand that they've never had a better opportunity to reclaim their country than the opportunity that they have right now. The question is, how far do they go? I think there's fear of sparking some kind of a civil war or an internecine conflict of sorts. But the Israelis are the ones that are doing most of the strikes, if not all of them. And so the Israelis are the ones that are being blamed.
Syria, the massacre of the Druze in Syria is a warning for Israel, according to the spiritual leader of the Druze, speaking passionately within these last hours. Al-Shara shows himself to be the monster we know he is, the man now calling himself Al-Shara. Previously he was Al-Jalani. Who knows what it'll be tomorrow? So the Damascus regime has vouchsafed this massacre, and what is to be done, Jonathan, or is it too fresh to solve?
Well, look, I think what we've seen is the true colors of Abu Muhammad al-Jalani. You know, this idea that he was a moderate or a pragmatist was, I think, a fiction, that his paymasters in Qatar and his military advisors in Turkey, these were the stories that they were trying to tell the rest of the world. I think the mask has fallen. I never bought it in the first place, but I think the mask has fallen for many who were hoping that the regime was going in this direction. But it's interesting right now because the Israelis they've backed themselves into a little bit of a corner. They have vowed to protect the Druze. They're about 3% of the population of Syria. We now see them actually bringing aid in deep into, 70 kilometers into into the territory of Syria. The town of Soweto is where we saw them deliver some aid the other day. But they've also vowed to actively protect this population in the face of slaughter. And look, it's smart politics from Israel's perspective. It's shoring up Israel's own relationship with their Druze community. Also similar numbers, small numbers in Israel, but important participants in Israeli civil society, and important from Israel's perspective for the diversity of the country. But now Israel finds itself in a position where it's vowing to protect a population that is not even inside its own borders. I think it's going to help Israel establish alliances in the new Syria, and that's helpful. But it is a dangerous moment here as Israel vows to fight on behalf of a population that is not necessarily a core interest.
We have 1 minute left, so I ask another impossible question. Air power shows us you can't win a war with air power only. Is there any practical reason to put ground troops into Sana'a?
Well, there is a group called the Southern Transitional Council, otherwise known as the STC. They appear to be the best option that the United States has for a proxy, a force that could be funded and armed and trained by the United States that would not necessitate putting boots on the ground. That's, I think, the option that needs to be discussed. How far along we are with these people and the Pentagon, I don't know, but I do believe that STC is probably ultimately the answer.
Jonathan Shanzer, Executive Director, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.